Well, hey, I'm going to get straight to the Word of God today. Is that all right with you guys? All right. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 says, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 PM. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Come on, let's pray this morning. God, we're thankful that as we worship you, that you meet us here in this place, and your Spirit's already moving and working on us. And God, right now I just ask that you would open up our mind, ears, eyes, and our hearts to receive the word that you've given us today. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, can we give it up for our worship team as well, and Pastor Tim and them for leading us this morning. This is a sweet spirit in the room. And man, I'm just excited. We're in week 7 of our series called Supernatural. Somebody say Supernatural. There you go. Come on. It's been a fun series so far, and we're in the book of Acts, and in this series, Supernatural, for the entire year, and we're just now getting to Acts chapter 3. It's been 7 weeks now, just getting to Acts chapter 3, but it makes sense, you know, when you have to have content for the entire year. You know, we can take it a little bit slower, all right? And so, man, I'm excited. I think, you know, today it's going to be fun. We're just walking through verse by verse. This passage that we just read, and I just want to pull out some truth and pull out some things that I feel like God was revealing to me over this last week, and I hope that it will bless you, and I hope it will encourage you in your walk with God as well. And so, Acts 3, verse 1, it said, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 PM. So what do we learn here? That it says that this is the time of prayer at 3 PM in the afternoon. Y'all, we're adding the 1 p.m. service for Easter, but we keep growing, and we're going to have to add a 3 p.m. Lord Jesus, help me. Anybody coming to the 3 p.m.? What about if it was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday? Anybody coming to that one, right? This is what they did. Every single day, there was a time of prayer, a time that was appointed for them to gather together as believers and to pray. And I find that interesting because if you read the NLT, a different version, it actually says that this was the 3 p.m. prayer service now. I love that. I know some of you grew up in Pentecostal church, all right? And you had, we didn't call them prayer service, we call them prayer meetings, right? You know what I'm talking about? The kind of prayer meeting, if it doesn't have a G on the end of it, that's how you know it's going to be a good Pentecostal prayer meeting, okay? So it's a good one. And so they had it at 3 PM. That was their time that they would pray together. And I think it's interesting because a lot of people in our culture nowadays, in Christian culture especially, will say, hey, you know, my relationship with God is my own, right? My relationship with God is something that I do by myself. And you know, I don't need other people to receive a word from God. I can receive a word directly from my Father. And to that I would say, yes, absolutely, you can receive a word straight from God. But I think that Peter and John and the apostles and the early believers at that time would disagree with the sentiment that we do not need one another in order for us to grow in our relationship with God. People say, well, I just get everything from God myself. Well, they say, no, we meet together at an appointed time and we pray together. We believe for God to do amazing things together, not just on our own. Yes, we do that, of course. But let's get together and pray. Man, I believe that there is power when the people of God get together to pray. Amen? There is power, and there's a there's something that shifts in a room when people get together and we believe for God to do miracles and we believe for God to do big things in the name of Jesus. And he said it. He said that he would show up. Where two or three of you are gathered, there I will be also. And we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so, man, when we gather together, literally there is freedom that is being lifted in this room, freedom that's being given in this room. And so, man, I encourage you, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here today. Come on, somebody. You came on the right Sunday, right? But it's important for us to meet together. There's power when we pray and when we meet together. And so, moving on, Acts chapter 3. Verses 2 through 3, it says, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Now, we don't know a whole lot about this man. We don't know a whole lot about his story, but there are a few things that we do learn from this passage. We know that he's been this way ever since birth. He's been lame, paralyzed. We don't know exactly what's going on, but he was not able to walk. And so from birth to adulthood, he was always taken care of by others. He was taken care of by his family. I'm sure he had some friends in his life. Every single need that he ever had had to be taken care of by somebody else. And that day, there were no wheelchairs. That those had not been invented yet in that time. They had chariots, but I'm sure that this guy was not able to afford something like that. And there was crutches. They did have those. They actually had crutches, and they would use those if they were able to, but apparently this man's situation was so bad that he was not even able to use a crutch. Why do we know this? Because it says that they had to carry him every single day and put him down at the gate. He couldn't even get himself over, so he was not able to use both of his legs. So in ancient times, the inability for a man to work was emasculating. Now let's be real. Even today, as a man, if you're not able to work, it's tough. Why? Because honestly, that's a lot of how God wired you and I, right? As men, a lot of times we just like to work. That just is who we are. God made us this way. We want to work. We want to get stuff done. We have goals and ambitions, and we want to get these things done. And, you know, hoorah. You know, that's just kind of who we are. We're men, you know. We get some stuff done. Exactly. And so for this man, even in ancient times, it was even worse. Yet I imagine for you now, it might be tough. If you end up wheelchair bound, you're not able to work. They didn't have work from home situations back then. You know, they didn't have that kind of stuff like we have today. And so he's not able to do anything. And in ancient times, they had very clear gender roles as well. The women stayed home, cooked, cleaned, took care of the kids, took care of the home. And the men went out to work and to war. Those are the two things that the men were responsible for. So it was embarrassing. It was emasculating for him. He had no way to support a family of his own. There was no disability system. In the Roman culture, they didn't have anything like that. There wasn't disability. There wasn't Social Security, right? The Jewish law did not have anything written in there as well about this. And so he had no way to work, no way to support a family. And Acts 4 actually tells us that just a chapter later, it tells us that he was over 40 years old, the man that was there. So we know he's over 40. He's been this way for a long, long time. And we don't know when he started begging for money. We're not really sure. But I would imagine it was probably pretty early. If you think about it, I mean, I would imagine it was probably his parents that maybe even took him to the Beautiful Gate for the very first time. Maybe he was 13, 12, 14, 15 years old. I don't know. But I imagine his mom and dad coming up to him and saying, hey, son, now, I know this is going to be really hard for you. And I know that you haven't really been able to, you know, really do the things that you've wanted to do. And your friends, I know they're all going out and doing the things and running around and they're starting to work and get jobs and they're advancing in different things. And I know it's been tough for you to not be able to do this, but we want to make sure that you have a way to provide for yourself and, you know, help provide for the family here. We want to make sure that you have an opportunity to make some money somehow. And so we're going to take you over to the Beautiful Gate and you're going to have to ask for money from people. So now not only is he already as a young man emasculated and embarrassed, but now add insult to injury, and my family and my friends are going to pick me up on a mat and take me over and drop me off every day, and I'm going to have to go ask for money from people I don't even know. And so every day he was there, every single day. It says that he was there every single day, and he probably got pretty good at it at some point, right? I mean, you got to think at the beginning, he was probably terrible. Like, he didn't know how to ask for money. He didn't know what that looked like. He didn't know what that, how do I ask anybody for money? And I don't really want to ask anybody for anything. But over time, it probably became like a profession to him. It became his job. It became the thing that he did. And so he probably got really good there. And every day that he laid there was just one more day accepting his reality that he was never going to be anybody. He was never going to get out of the situation. He was never going to be able to do anything else. Probably saying things like, I'll never be able to work. I'll never be able to have a family. I'll always be crippled. I'll always be here every single day of my life until I die. And you got to think that at that point, he's 40, 45 years old. We don't know. He's probably accepted his reality and lost all sense of hope. And so he sat outside of the temple, right at the gate. And here's an important distinction. He was not allowed inside. A lot of people don't know this, but this man would not have been allowed inside of the temple. This was not God's law, but this was certainly a man-made law, because they had all kinds of Old Testament law. You know about them, right? That the lambs that had to be sacrificed, the animals that had to be sacrificed had to be perfect, spotless. They couldn't have any defects or anything like that. And so they actually translated that to people, and they would say, hey, because you're lame, because you're paralyzed, you are defective and you are unfit for the house of God. So in that culture, they wouldn't even let him into the temple. So imagine every single day being relegated to sitting right outside of Radical Church and begging people for money, and the people that were coming in every single day would never let you inside. Even more embarrassment, even more difficulty now. And so then Acts 3, 4 through 5, it says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. So one day he encounters Peter and John. And we don't know. Maybe they've seen him before. Maybe they haven't. It says he was there every day, but there's many gates to get in, but there's a lot of people as well. And so maybe they've seen him. Maybe they've come across him. Maybe Jesus had even come. We don't know. But he asked him for money, and it says that they look intently at him. Now, this word, it doesn't mean that, it's not just like a glance. It says they look straight at him, okay? The word for this is intently, or you actually get the word attention from this word. So what does that tell me? It's not just a short look. It means that they gave him their full attention. Do you know that something that is the most powerful gift that you can give your child is your full attention? The best gift that you can give somebody when you're hanging out with them in the lobby on a Sunday morning is your full undivided attention, right? Just in general in life, sometimes I think we are so consumed with our phones, we're so addicted to our iPads and to the things that we watch on screens, that it is hard for us in our culture to just give somebody our complete undivided attention. It's difficult. My son, when I get home from work, right? What's the first thing he does? He runs up to me, and my daughter, they run up to me, and they say, Daddy, you're home, you know? And they're immediately giving me their full, undivided attention. They're looking right at me, looking right in my eyes, excited to see me. But you know what happens so many times when I get home? Because we're so distracted and we're so busy, we got so many things going on. When I walk through the door, I'm on the phone. Hey, son, not right now. I'm sorry, I can't. And I have to go into my office. How many of us do that same thing? Let's be real, right? Men especially, I get it. We're working. We're getting stuff done. But yet in that moment, the best gift that I could give my son and my daughter right there is my undivided attention, to look them right in the eyes and say, hey, Oakland, hey, Tegan, what's going on? Dad's home. Let's go play. What do we got going on? What's mom cooking? Come on, somebody, you know, like, let's go. I'll run you around outside, and then we'll hang out, and then we'll put you to bed at 7 p.m., okay? Woo, man, come on now. Parents of young kids, say amen. Amen. Thank you, all right. But I believe that many times we're so busy doing the things that we're doing that even if the Holy Spirit wanted to highlight somebody to us, even if the Holy Spirit wanted us to pray for somebody, We are not paying enough attention to even hear or see that person. Why? We're not even giving them our attention. We're just walking on by. We're getting from point A to point B, doing our thing. But yet that's not what Peter and John do in that moment. What do? They stop. They stare intently at him. They look at him with their full attention. How many times has this man ever had somebody give him their full attention? He didn't even look up at them because he's so used to people not even looking at him. They have to say, look at us. And he's like, why? You know, like, okay, and here's my cup. Are you going to give me something or what? What are you going to give me? But I really do believe that giving someone your full attention is so powerful. And in that moment, I really do believe that God was preparing their hearts in order to see what God had for him. The man didn't even know it yet, but he was asking for the wrong thing. And Peter and John, their faith was being built up. The Holy Spirit was speaking to them in that moment, telling them exactly what that man needed to hear, telling him exactly, hey, this is what you're going to do for this man right here, right now. But the man is asking for the wrong thing because he is limited to his physical predicament. His mindset was not that he was going to receive anything else other than what he's always received, which is no one looking at him and maybe giving him a couple of cents. Peter and John have something far better than money to offer this man. We know this. It says in verse 6, then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And let me encourage somebody with this thought today, that Jesus has what you really need. Amen? You think that you need something, but God knows what you really need. You think that you need money, but God has true provision for you. Amen? You think that you need money, but my God provides healing. You think that you need money, but my God provides hope. Somebody say amen. Amen? Come on. Now, it's not money. It's not even just about the healing that God provides for our physical bodies. But this man received something even more powerful, which was an encounter with an almighty God. An encounter with Jesus for the very first time. Through Peter and through John in that moment, he's saying, man, I'm going to give you what you think you need because what my God provides is even better than what you think you need. He gives what we really need. It's better than you can ask, think, or imagine. It's better than just the healing of your body, but he will also give you a hope for your future. Amen? He'll heal your body, give you a hope for your future. And so the question I have for us is, what are we giving the world? What do we have to offer? Like what Peter says in that moment, hey, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. So what are we giving? What are our churches giving? Well, if I give somebody money, their today will be changed for the better. If I give somebody Jesus, their eternity will be changed forever. I want you to hear me. If I give somebody money, physical resources, and yes, that's all great and well and good. We should help people in their physical need. Yes. But if I give you that today, that will only change your today. If I give you the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, it'll change your life forever. And many churches have it opposite, unfortunately. Silver and gold, yeah, we have a lot of that, actually. But we can't help you walk. We have a big building and small faith. Let that never be said of our church. Amen? We have lots of cash and no power. Man, I'd rather have power than possessions. I'd rather have the Spirit of God moving more than anything that this world can buy me. Why? Matthew 16 reminds us that what will it profit a man? Oh, come on now. If he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul, I will take power over profit any day of the week. I'll take it all day long, the power to speak and to see the sick healed in the name of Jesus and people's marriages restored and life given and hope received in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, I want you to notice something as well, that Peter never prays for this man. He never prays for him. He doesn't say, all right, why don't you come on into the prayer meeting and then we'll lay hands on you and intercede for the next 45 minutes for your healing. No. Many times we want to pray for people to receive healing. We need to start declaring healing in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. That's not a prayer. That's a declaration in the name of Jesus. That's true authority in Christ, guys. That's faith for real. Think about that. You tell somebody to get up and walk that's been paralyzed for 45 years? Oh my goodness. You're going to look real stupid if they're just like, yeah, it ain't happening, man. You're going to look real dumb. You better be sure that that's what God told you to do. You better be sure that this is what God does. And we say, God, I just ask that you heal this person. You know, and we start praying and we're like, oh, Lord Jesus, come on, heal him. Come on, what you doing? And we're like really straining, you know, I don't know why we do that. It's like, maybe we get, sometimes we get really loud. We're like, Lord, would you heal him in the name of Jesus? By your stripes we are healed. You know, it's like, we're like really praying hard about it, you know? And then Peter's over here just saying like, hey, get up and walk. Go back and look at all the miracles that Jesus does. And I want you to tell me how many times he prays for somebody to be healed versus how many times he declares that someone is healed. Why? Because he knew what he carried. He knew that he had the power and authority of God within him. It's already there. And we, a lot of times we say, God, I ask that you heal this person. He's like, why are you asking? Because I already said yes on the cross. Jesus already said yes. Like, I've already paid for that healing. Why are you asking me for something I've already paid for and already given you? So Isaiah says, by his stripes, we are healed. Not if we have a prayer meeting and we really seek after the Lord, you know, like we carry it. We should carry it. The best illustration I can give this, and I'll kind of mix it with another thing that actually happened with me this last year in December. So if you were here in December, there was a time when we just, you know, felt like God told us to just give away a bunch of cash and just help people that were in need. And if you needed it, then maybe you were able to keep it. But I said, hey, if you don't need it, then go give it to somebody else that you know does need it. And bless them and give them Christmas gifts and all that kind of stuff. And it was beautiful. And with so many people, so generous and just so giving. And I love that about our church. And we had a family that came to us and said, hey, we actually want to give $2,000 to the church. But we just want you guys to pray about it and then just give it to one family that you feel like is in need. We don't want it to go to eight families. We just want it to go to one family that, you know, you pray and we'll just leave it up to you on who that family is. How many of y'all know? I was very happy about that. I get to pray and I get to just give this check to someone. This is amazing. Like, I am such a happy. I literally got to go to this family's house and hand deliver a check for $2,000 that they didn't even know was coming. Oh my goodness, it was so good. And this is exactly what God does for us. Listen, I was so happy in that moment. Why? Because number one, it wasn't coming from my bank account, okay? Somebody say amen. It was coming from theirs, right? And when we pray for healing for somebody, listen, it's not coming from your bank account. It's coming from God's. He's already paid for it. He's already given you the check, and all you have to do is deliver it to the person that's in need. You are just the conduit with which healing flows through. That's it. You get to hand deliver it. You get to deliver hope. You get to deliver life. And listen, it's not anything that you've done. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's not by your strength. But it's all because of Jesus, amen? Like, we don't take any honor for ourselves. I don't take any glory for me on all the great stuff that God's doing at Radical. I give it all back to God because he's worthy of it. And it's his leading that has helped us to get to the place we're even at. We would be remiss. We would be stupid if we say, hey, I did this. No, 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 no. No, you did not. Absolutely not. It's all because of Jesus. And this is what Peter is trying to explain when they take him in for questioning. Right after this guy gets healed, they bring him in for questioning. They're like, hey, what's going on here? Right? Because remember this dude, he's been here for 40 years, 30 years, however long. And he has been sitting outside of this gate and now he's running around the temple. And so in verses 11 and 12, it says, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does it surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this happen? What is he saying? It's not me that did it. It's God that did it. It's not my power. It's his. And my weakness, he is strong. He's the one that does it by the name of Jesus Christ. And if it's Jesus that does it, right, it's his victory, not mine. He's the healer. And I just get to receive the benefits of offering it to somebody else. Oh my goodness, we get to receive that. Did you know that you have benefits when you are in the kingdom of God? When you're a son and daughter of the Most High? Come on, I'm going to preach to you guys today. That's why David writes in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits. Man, a lot of times people in church world, they try to say, well, I'm just going to pick up my cross and follow Jesus. It's going to be real hard, but I'm going to make it. You know, no, absolutely. Yes, we pick up our cross and we follow Jesus. But you're a son and daughter of the Most High Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he's a good dad who loves his kids. The Bible says he gives you good gifts. He loves to take care of us. He gives us our daily bread. But man, he doesn't just give us our daily bread. Come on, I feel like God gives us all kinds of, he also gives us the country fried fixings. Come on now. He gives you your salary and your benefits. Some of you might have a job and you're like, man, I need some good benefits. Well, God's giving you some right here, right now, okay? He gives you that daily bread, them country fried sides. I feel like the kingdom of God is like Cracker Barrel. Can I just be honest with you guys? It's like Cracker Barrel. You get that, you get them pancakes. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. You get that warm syrup in that little bottle. You just unscrew that thing and you know it's about to be a good meal, okay? You could probably get there for lunch, right? Okay, here we go. So you pour that syrup all over there. You know it's about to be delicious, okay? But you know I'm not just going to get some pancakes. Of course not. I got to get me some eggs, some sausage, some bacon with mama's pancake breakfast. You better believe that's what I'm doing. And this is exactly what Jesus does for us. Man, he gives you the salvation, but that's not where it ends. He gives you a side of healing along with it too. He gives you a side of provision. He gives you a side of deliverance along with it too. Man, it's not just about the salvation. That's the beginning. But he gives you all the fixings and the benefits too. Amen? Come on. Somebody say hallelujah today. Woo, we're having church now. Verses 7 and 8, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Let me point something out to you today. Keep this verse up here, please. The healing did not happen until after Peter helped him up. Look at it. That is even another level of faith. It took a lot of faith for Peter to say, get up and walk. You're going to look real stupid if he doesn't. But you know what's a whole other level of faith? Is even after you say, get up and walk, he ain't walking yet. Now I'm going to come over and say, you know what? Let me help you up. Reaches out his hand to him, grabs a hold of him. His legs were still not working. He's still paralyzed. I don't know if you've ever tried to pick up a 45-year-old man before. That's not helping you at all, okay? Maybe you have somebody in your life that is paralyzed or is whatever that might be for them. They're in a wheelchair. Have you ever tried to help somebody out of a wheelchair before? It's not easy. This is a 40 to 45-ish-year-old man here we're talking about. It's not simple. And so Peter, is down and he's actually reaching out his hand and helping this man up. His legs are still not working. And he did not get healed until Peter aligned that man's body with the will of God for that man's life. And when he stood him up, I believe Peter looked at him and said, that looks right. That's what God wants for you. Bam, he's healed. That's faith in the name of Jesus. Healed. Right there in that moment. After he helped him up, his feet and ankles became strong. Let me encourage you today. There is power in position. There is power in the position that you are in. There's power in the position that you help others to stand in the name of Jesus. Paralyzed man with Jesus, that he gets dropped through the roof, right? You remember this story? Paralyzed man. They cut a hole in the roof. Jesus is teaching in a house, okay? And they drop this man through the roof into the middle of the ground where Jesus is. His friends put him in position to receive the miracle that he needed. So who put him? His friends did. What about the woman with the issue of blood? What does that story say? It says that she ran through the crowd, worked her way through the crowd, moving people around. She knows Jesus is up there. There's a huge crowd all around Jesus. And she works her way up just to barely touch the hem of his robe, of his garment. And she receives the healing that she needed because she put herself in position to receive the miracle. But in the story of the lame beggar, it is Peter that actually puts that man in position to receive his healing. So there's different ways that you can receive healing from God. Sometimes you need the faith of your friends and family to call you out and say, hey, you're being real stupid right now. I need to put you in front of Jesus. You need to go down to that altar. Your wife is just in the arm. You need to get down there and pray because you need some Jesus. I need to put you in position for healing because you're a real dummy, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you need the faith of other people to put you in proximity with Jesus to get you the healing that you need in your life. I know I needed that when I was young. I had some friends that helped me when I was being real dumb. And I thank God for them every single day. But then sometimes you just have to have the tenacity to put yourself in the position. Man, I don't know if anybody else is around me is following Jesus. I don't care, but I'm going to reach out and touch the garment of Jesus. I just got to reach out and touch Jesus. And I know if I can get to him and just barely touch him, that I will find the healing that I need. But then sometimes you need somebody like a Peter that says, hey, listen, you don't need to have any faith at all. I have enough faith for the both of us. Let me reach down and grab you up and put you in the right position. And now Jesus will heal you. Oh my goodness, let me tell you, you have to get up before you can walk. This man had to stand up before he could walk. What? In the story of the paralyzed man where gets dropped through the roof, Jesus just said, get up, take your mat, and go home. What if the man was just like, yeah, I can't stand, Jesus, obviously. Like, that's why I'm here, right? You know? What if he just laid there and was like, but I can't walk. He had to have some level of faith to get up and stand up before he could walk. And yet this is what happens with us so many times. Man, we have been healed by Jesus. We have been set free. We have received the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet we're still living like we're broken. We're still living like we haven't been healed yet. We're still living like our past is still our present reality when it's just stuck in the past where it belongs. And yet Satan tries to keep us bound. He tries to keep us in chains, tries to remind us of who we used to be, and tries to remind you of the healing that you got. But he's saying, no, 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 it wasn't legit. No, you're still broken. You're still messed up. And yet what I feel like God is saying right now is, why don't you just get up and walk? You got to stand up before you can walk. That's in the past. You've been healed. You're not broken anymore. You're restored. You're justified in Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And some of you, I think you need to be reminded of that side of it, from the man side who's being healed. Man, I got to get myself in position. Maybe there's people around me that will help me to get in position to receive a healing that I need. But then there's also from the other side, from Peter's side of it, right? As the person praying for somebody else, are you in the right position? In basketball, everybody has a position that they play, right? I played for a long time. I love basketball. And you have a position that you play, and you got to be in the right position for the offensive play to work. Actually, I honestly think a better example might even be like little kids soccer. Yeah, have you ever seen that before? It just looks like a big like amoeba, a big glob of like just, they're all just like, going, it's like a herd of sheep, you know, and like the referees are just kind of like herding them in there, like the ball's over there, and everyone just runs that way, you know. And no one's in position. No one's doing the right thing. They're all out of position, and it's not a very great offensive strategy. And in basketball, it's the same way, really. You all have a position. You might not notice this if you're not playing the game, but in the game, you know that you're running a play, and there's going to be a ball. There's going to be, this guy sets a pick here. The ball's going to get passed over there. It's going to swing around here. And I'm actually over here, not even involved in what's happening here, but I have to make sure I get to my spot. Because if I get to my spot, then when the ball swings around, it's coming, whether I'm there or not. And the ball's got to get to me, and then I can score. But it only happens if I'm in position. And here's the thing I want to encourage you with. Maybe you're having trouble believing that God could heal. And the reason why is because you're not praying for anybody. You're out of position. Maybe you're so distracted and busy, and we talked about it, and you're just going through life and doing the things that we do, and you're so distracted by your phone and by your work, and these are good things. This is fine. Like, we got to do these things. I'm not against these things, but at the end of the day, can you see or hear the needs that are around you? Do you even have enough attention to give to somebody to let the Holy Spirit speak life over somebody through you? If you're not, and you're just trying to get from point A to point B, let me tell you, you're out of position. We have to allow God to put us in the position. We have to get ourselves in the right position. We got to be in prayer. We got to be full of the Holy Spirit. We got to stay full of the Holy Spirit. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit so that we can do what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. We got to be bold enough to shoot the ball when it gets passed to us too. Come on now. You've seen that kid that grabs the ball. It's the play. He was in position, got the ball, and he's like, shoot the ball, son. Shoot the ball, daughter of God. Come on now. Like, get out there and pray for somebody. Holy Spirit is passing you the ball, and you're just saying, like, I don't know. I'm just going to pass it to somebody else, you know. You have the ball. You're wide open. It's right there. You know, like, you're focused directly on the basket. Just shoot the ball. Pray for that person. You've been in that situation before when you feel like God's told you to pray for somebody. He's put your full attention on them, and you're just staring at them. Have you ever done that? You just, like, stare at somebody, and you're like, I'm supposed to pray for that person, aren't I? And you're like, no. Nah. He's putting your attention on him, but then you're passing the ball. Get in position. Be bold. Get full of the Holy Spirit and shoot the ball. Amen? And it says the man gets up, he's jumping around and praising God, and this is what happens. Acts 3, 9 through 10. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Worship team's going to come up in just a moment, and we're going to praise God for what he's done for us, all right? When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. You know what the best part is? It says that he goes into the temple. He's in the temple now, running around, praising God. This barrier that was between him and God before, oh my goodness, this barrier that man had set up and said, you're not good enough, you're defective, you're not fit for the house of God. Now he's running around, fully healed and restored in the house of God, and you got to believe all of them are standing there saying, well, hold on a second, wait, who, you? What? Aren't you? Are you seeing this, guys? What's going on here? Is this the same dude? And they're like, yeah, that's him. That's definitely him. He's been there for 30 years. Yeah. Well, like, well, you're not supposed to be in here. You're not, but your legs are working. You're jumping up and down. And he's praising God, saying, I've been healed. I've been healed. I've been restored. And you can't stop me from getting close to God anymore. I'm going to dance in this temple. I'm going to rejoice in this temple. I'm going to praise God because he has healed me in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. Now, when God does a miracle in your life, share it with somebody. Share it with somebody. You know what your testimony does when God does something powerful in your life, and your testimony brings faith where there is no faith. Your testimony builds faith in somebody that maybe doesn't have a whole lot. There's power in your testimony. There's power in your story. There's power in what God has done in you and through you to build faith for somebody else to see the same thing. And I just believe that in our church, we're going to start hearing stories like this. It's going to be like, hey, isn't that Chad? I thought he didn't believe in God. Okay. Scrolling on social media. Isn't this Kylie? Same Kylie? She goes to a radical church. I thought she was strung out on drugs and alcohol. She's in church? Wow. Well, good for her. Isn't that Jim? I thought he was in a car accident, was paralyzed. How is he up walking around? What happened to him? That's incredible. Isn't that Donna? I thought she had cancer and only had 3 months to live. I believe we're going to start hearing those stories. You know what you're going to be able to say? But God. Come on now. But God. Isn't that that lame beggar? Isn't that that same dude that we've seen for 30 years out here begging for money? And now he's in here jumping around praising God. You know what he was saying in that moment? But God, in the middle of my story, in the middle of whatever you're dealing with right now, I don't know what your miracle is that you need. I don't know what kind of healing you need in your life. I don't know what kind of miracle you need in your life. I don't know what your story has been thus far. But what I know is that your story comes to a point when God intervenes with you, and then from then on, you get to say, but God. Come on now. Everything after that is, but God did this. But God healed me from that. But God restored my marriage. But God set me free from addiction. But God has me jumping around and praising him today. And people will say, well, isn't that the old person? You say, nope, not no more, because I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen? This is what God does for us. My God is able to do more than we could ever ask, think, and imagine. But God, why don't you stand up with me today? You got to get in position. You just got to get in position. That's the end of this today. Some of you need to put yourself in a position to receive a miracle. You're like the lame beggar right now, and you're just asking for money, but God wants to do more. You're asking for the wrong thing. God has what you really need. Amen? Not what you think you need, but what you really need. And you need to put yourself in a position to receive a miracle from him today. Get close to Jesus. Get in proximity with God. Find some friends that will lower you through a roof. Reach out and grab the hand of Peter. Reach out and grab the hand of Jesus, right? Peter, man, he just helps that guy on up. Come on now. Some of you need somebody in your life that's going to help you on up. But right now, I want you to be more like the woman with the issue of blood, that you just put yourself right in position. Some of you need to be put in the right position. You might not need a miracle for yourself, but you want to be in the right position to release miracles and to release life and hope over other people. And you need to get in the right position. And so right now, what I want you to do is I want you to pray for just a moment, and we're going to sing the song, Jesus is my healer. We're going to sing it again. And at the end of the day, listen, Jesus is your healer. I am not a healer. You are not a healer. Just like Peter said, why are you surprised as if I did anything? It wasn't me. It was all Jesus. Everything points back to Jesus. All the miracles, all the signs, all the healings, all the amazing things that God does through the Holy Spirit and through each and every one of us. It all points back to Jesus. And so I want us to lift up the name of Jesus and say, he is my healer. He is everything I need. If I have Jesus, then I have everything that I could ever need and ask for. And so what I want you to do is, just in this place, would you bow your heads for a second? I want to pray with you, and we're going to sing. Father God, I ask that you would put us in position to receive a miracle from you today. And Lord, would you put us in a position to deliver miracles today, that we would be the conduit by which your miracle, Holy Spirit, dunamis power, flows into this broken world. God, that you would give us boldness to shoot our shot. When Holy Spirit, you pass us the ball. Give us a boldness to shoot, to pray for somebody, to speak life over somebody, to encourage somebody, to be bold for Jesus Christ. Not to be passive, not to be timid, but we would be like Peter and have the authority to say, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Your past is gone and your new life has come. You're a new creation now. Why? Because of God in this place right now, because of what Jesus has done for you. Give us a boldness, Lord. And I pray for miracles right now as people are getting in position, as they're raising their hands, as they're on their knees, as they're crying out to you, God. They're putting themselves in this position today. And I feel maybe just a little bit like a friend who's lowering these people down in the roof right now. And I'm saying, you just got to get close to Jesus. And if you get close to Jesus, you'll find everything that you need. Everything we need is within him. So come on right now. Can we just sing this song? Jesus is my healer. Let's lift it up today. Come on.